In a corrupt environment, if you want to keep something, you have to protect it. Welcome to Right Start with Jim Custer, teaching pastor of Grace Polaris Church in Columbus, Ohio. Your food is going to spoil, your tools will rust, your beautiful wood clapboards will rot, unless you do something to stop the deterioration process. Christians are like that. We're something of great value to Christ, but we're stuck for now in a corrosive atmosphere. God has to take action to preserve us. Today, Pastor Jim opens a message called The Kept and the Lost.
We will have to think outside the box this morning. We're eavesdropping. We're listening to the Lord Jesus Christ, the unique God the Son, speak to His Father, the unique Father of the Trinity, before the Son exits this world and goes back home to His Father. The 17th chapter of John takes us places where we cannot answer all the questions. We simply are exposed in these verses to truth that's larger than our theology, larger than our concepts, larger than our imagination. It is a magnificent passage. With appropriate respect, would you stand this morning and with your copy of the Word of God, follow and allow me to read these most precious verses. Listen to them, and may the Spirit of God give us understanding and appreciation for these wonderful, wonderful, wonderful words. John 17:11. Jesus prays, "Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you. Holy Father, keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those whom you gave me, I have kept, and none of them is lost except the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I come to you. These things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word. The world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. And we have heard your word this morning, Lord Jesus. In the reading of this passage, we have been exposed to your thoughts, to your promises, to the greatness of your majesty and power. We have heard you say that there are those who are lost and those who are being kept. We have heard you say that we are on assignment to remain in the world. We are not of the world, and the world is filled with danger and risk. I pray that this morning you would help us grasp just a bit of the enormous concern that filled your heart and framed these words. For all of us who are being kept, we give you great thanksgiving that our salvation does not rest upon our efforts, our keeping, but our salvation rests upon the firm foundation of your omnipotence and your sovereignty. We are kept because you are faithful. For that one who discovers this morning that they are lost on their way to destruction, by your gracious Spirit, expose to them your great love. Draw them to faith in Jesus Christ. Even in that decision, your word tells us that we are not able to work up such faith, that no man can come to the Father except he is drawn. So this morning, draw many who do not know Jesus Christ from that throng who are lost and on their way to destruction, to that group who are being kept, separated, and sanctified from the world. Make these things clear, personal, and the source of great rejoicing to our hearts today. We thank you for your faithfulness, and as we worship you with our tithes and offerings, we praise you that you count them significant, and through them, you have chosen to do things that will change lives forever, for all eternity. And you will accomplish in our world, through our gifts and through our lives, things that give you pleasure. So with pleasure, we love you, and we express that love in the gifts we give. In Jesus' name, please be seated. We live in a dangerous place. In the passage before us, the Lord Jesus is leaving our world. It's very clear as he prays to the Father, it's very clear that he's concerned about those who have become his followers during his earthly ministry. He does not pray for the world. There's a sense in which it is futile to pray for the world. The world is in rebellion against its creator. That rebellion is led by one who is called the evil one, Satan. He has lots of helpers, both those in the flesh, like you and me, and those who live in the spirit world. They are normally called fallen angels or demons. But the world, that word means the system or the arrangement of things on our earth. That whole system is designed to deceive. It is filled with evil. It takes its habits, its attitudes, its patterns from the character of its leader, Satan. God does not promise salvation for the world. And that's one of the reasons why Jesus doesn't pray for it. There are passages of Scripture that clearly say that the system of worldliness in which we live is so corrupt, so filled with evil, that God is going to destroy it. If you read the little epistle of 2 Peter, that's one of the major themes. In that little book, Peter explains that the world, the system of things around us, is so corrupt and so committed to rebellion and proud arrogance and lawlessness and ungodliness. It is so committed to those things that God is not going to correct it. He's going to destroy it. And Peter says that God has put a tag on the earth, and that tag is marked reserved for destruction. Now, those who are zealously pursuing making the world a Christian place are going to experience frustration and failure. It's not going to happen. Jesus doesn't pray for the world. He prays for those who are in the world, but who are seeking to follow him. He notes that just as he, Jesus Christ, was out of step with the world, and that the world didn't appreciate, matter of fact, the people in the world hated Jesus, Jesus in his prayer states that that same hatred will be experienced by those who are seeking to follow Jesus Christ living in the world. That the world is not neutral when it comes to Christianity. It has a natural determination of hatred and anger and resistance. You'll notice also Jesus prays to the Father. Now, I don't want you to take them out of the world. I want you to keep them in the world. And that both means let them remain here, and it also has a deeper meaning. Preserve, protect them while they are in the world. One of the great dangers that the church faces at this time in God's program is that event that Paul described in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. He says there will be a great apostasy first. Then the man of sin will be revealed. The man of sin is the Antichrist, who will head up a one-world government in the final days of Gentile human history, just before Jesus Christ comes back from heaven to the earth to establish his kingdom here. Now, we know a great deal about that man of sin. We know something of his character. We know something of his career. We even know the number of his name, 666. A great deal is written about him. Much less is written about the apostasy that will take place before the man of sin is revealed. Apostasy means that people who know the truth are going to depart from the truth and compromise themselves and move away from righteousness. That apostasy takes place because of the cunning deceitfulness and the deceptiveness of evil in our world. Our world is not a friendly place to people of faith. Jesus makes an astonishing statement in this prayer. He says, I'm going to leave the earth, the world. I'm going to leave my followers here in the world. While I was here, I kept them. I preserved them from evil, from destruction. Now, Father, I'm going out of the world. I'm coming back to you, to heaven. I'm leaving these people here. I'm praying that you leave them here. But because the environment is so hostile to their faith, so resistant to truth, I'm asking you, Father, to keep them. preserve them, protect them. Three or four things that flow out of that prayer. Things that are relevant, I hope, to your life and to your thinking. The first is, you live in a dangerous environment. There isn't much around you that's going to be helpful to your faith and encouraging you to walk in righteousness. The design of the world that faces you and hits you full in the face, the design of that world is strategic. There are mental energies. There is intelligence behind the hostility of the world that you feel and you face. And there is deliberate deceptiveness being deployed, intended to trip you up, intended to make you fail, intended to present you with such desirable alternatives that you will turn from the truth and practice unrighteousness. That is a very real and present danger. Jesus illustrated that from his own life. He said, "While I was here in the world, I kept those whom you gave to me, and none of them is lost. But there is one who defected." He became a child of destruction. His name is Judas. As you think about the tremendous opportunities that Judas had, being one of the 12, intimate relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. He even shared in the ability to do miracles like the rest of the 12. He was honored and esteemed by the other 11. He was made treasurer of the group. He heard Jesus speak, watched Jesus work, saw the transforming power of the gospel in the lives of the other 11 apostles and in many people who stepped out of the multitudes and trusted Christ. He was so close that he could see the authenticity of the miracles, from the changing of water into wine to the raising of Lazarus, whose body had been lying in the tomb for several days. Judas had a front row seat. He was part of the 12. And yet after 3 years of intimate fellowship with Jesus and the apostles, Judas proved to be a phony. He falls under the category of one who is lost, who has lost the way, lost the truth, lost the opportunity for a relationship with God, lost the invitation to spend eternity with God in heaven, and today Judas is in the fires of hell, and he will be there forever. Now, that means that each of us has a personal responsibility in relationship to the opportunities of truth and righteousness. But those opportunities do not make us believers. We must make the choice. God has decreed that you must choose. If you do not choose the truth and do not choose to walk in the truth, then you are on your own and you are fitting yourself for destruction. If you change the error of your way, you will spend eternity apart from God in the place he designed for the devil and his angels, a place called the lake of fire. The Bible teaches that not everyone will be saved. It teaches that Jesus on the cross died in such a way that whoever will come to God through Jesus Christ can be and will be forgiven of their sins. But the Bible also teaches that that offer of God's grace is not automatically applied to every person. That there's a response required on your part, as there was a response required from Judas. Turn back in your Bibles to the 6th chapter of the Gospel of John. And here we're going back to an earlier time in Jesus' ministry. He had just fed 5,000 people yesterday. He had done it miraculously. And in chapter 6, the people come to the Lord Jesus Christ demanding an explanation, seeking a sign, comparing and contrasting Jesus feeding them with the loaves and the fish with the miracle of the manna in the days of Moses 1,500 years before. Jesus explains to them, look at verse 31. They say, in John 6:31, they say, the multitude says, our fathers ate the manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said to them, I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. They say, Lord, give us this bread. Jesus says, I am that bread. He who comes to me shall never hunger. He who believes in me shall never thirst. But you, I say, you have seen me and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will by no means cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the will of the Father, that of all that he has given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day.
Evil men and imposters will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. That's Paul's prophecy to Timothy. We're often shocked by the spiraling wickedness in our world, but we have to remember, it's not our world. Jim will have more thoughts for us tomorrow about the kept and the lost. You can ask for the entire sermon on CD, and we'll send it to you for a gift of $7 or more. Our series is called How to Live Effectively, Volume 2. It'll be a 12-lesson course that's available on CD for your donation of $42 or more. There are some generous Christians that help keep Right Start going out to Columbus and Cincinnati, Ohio, New Plymouth, New Zealand, and all points in between. They call themselves the Right Start family, and that it truly is. Thank you all for your prayers and gifts. If you'd like to make a difference in this way, please mail us at Right Start, P.O. Box 437, Worthington, Ohio, 43085 USA. Call us at 1-800-984-2313. That's 800-984-2313. And visit our website. It's a distribution hub for further ministry, rightstartradio.org. You can play radio programs from the site. You can have them fetched automatically each day with the podcast on iTunes. You can even play or download the raw audio files of the sermons for free. You can give online, too, at rightstartradio.org. rightstartradio.org. Thanks for listening. I'm Dan Pope. Jesus implied in his prayer that the opposite of being kept by God is being lost. We'll look more closely at this on tomorrow's episode. Please join us for Wednesday's Right Start.